Equity Spirit has pinched the Oaks by 4 lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Maccabi Denver has won it.
Oh, yes, we are back on .com and the Den Mondays. I don't know how that howl rates. I'm Roger Aldridge.
Pretty poorly.
Joining me, as always, is Richard Irvin. Give us your howl then. Come on.
Ow! Okay, much better.
I'm going to have to turn the volume down at my end. Look, Group 1 racing on the weekend, and it was a lot to get excited about going into the weekend, Rich, and coming out of it, unless you're speaking genuinely through your pocket, there's even more to be excited about on the back of it. It was absolutely sensational in two states.
Yeah, I loved it. I was sitting at home watching every race very intently, and it didn't fail to deliver. And there's some very interesting storylines going forward, and we're going to unpack all of them as usual.
It was a wet old Saturday at Flemington. Storms were around and lightning struck indeed, and that kicks off our Straight Six.
The Straight Six.
Oh, Rich, that was all about the three-year-olds heading into the Black Caviar Lightning, but it was the four-year-old mares who did the job, and one in particular, Skybird, the winner. I don't think too many would have found her. This was a sensational last first effort by Skybird, and there was shades of a victory early in her career where she was trapped in traffic on Cox Plate Day a couple of years ago and made up incredible amount of ground in the last 50 metres to win. She has got some turn of foot.
Yeah, we just saw it there, withering burst from last. I think cover was the big thing. She got cover, so did Benedetta, so did Stretton Angel. It was pretty windy, and they all sort of little bit of cover out the back there, which seemed to help. And you had their three-year-old colts, which everyone was talking about all week. You got Switzerland, Growing Empire, and Traffic Warden. They were up front, except for Traffic Warden is a little bit far back. They didn't get much cover, and they just found nothing, and the mares came over the top and went bang. Overall, you've got to be pretty disappointed with the three-year-old colts. They just, it wasn't quite strong enough. That's not to say that they can't go on and do better things. I think in terms of the colts, I think Switzerland, pass mark, okay, probably bigger and better things in front of him. Growing Empire, it's a bit of a query now. Like, he had those brilliant runs in the Manicato, even the Everest, but that was a pretty poor run by him. And out of the three colts, I'm probably less high on him. And I think Traffic Warden, if you can find any positive out of him, it's the fact that he profiles exactly the same as what Cylinder did last year. Ran poorly in the Lightning and then came out and won the Newmarket with that big weight drop, which Cylinder will get. So we'll look at the market for the Newmarket a little bit later on, but $11 seems not a bad price when you consider James Cummings' record in the Newmarket.
I think you've been a bit harsh, Rich. I think you've been a little bit harsh on the three-year-old colts. I thought at first up at 1,000 metres, I think there's still, I wouldn't be potting any of them. Growing Empire, okay. I agree, he's probably got the biggest query of the three.
Yep.
But certainly Switzerland, I thought was still a really good run. Traffic Warden, I think, is going to be a lot better over further. And, the mares are better on the day, but let's not take away from, Skybird has shown that she's got that great turn of foot. She's great down the straight, and it all did set up really nicely for her. Stretton Angel was narrowly beaten by Benedetta in Group 1 last year. She goes really well down the straight, and I think she's going to be a lot better over sort of 1,200 as well. Going forward, this will be a great form race, I believe, and okay. I wouldn't be jumping off the three-year-old colts just yet.
So Ollie said, in terms of Growing Empire, this is Damien Oliver, said that they should take the blinkers off and that would make a big difference. Just on Switzerland, I heard Wallace saying that he will either go to the Newmarket or possibly the Canterbury Stakes back up in Sydney. That's over 1,300 metres, which I thought was a bit odd, but okay. And then even when I went and looked at the Canterbury Stakes meeting, Switzerland's not even quoted in them. Skybird pulled up a little bit lame, Mitch Friedman said. The plan is to go on to the Newmarket and also the William Reid, the 1,200-metre race at the Valley on Golden Slipper Day, but was a little bit sore, so they'll just monitor Skybird. But if everything's okay, they'll roll on to the Newmarket.
If she does that with some form of lameness in the run, imagine what she's going to do when fully fit. And that's sometimes I know a lot of trainers are like, oh, geez, pulls up lame. They're intrigued by it. Doesn't really, they can't see maybe what the vets have seen. So, as Mitch said this morning on radio, she is a bit sore. She did come up lame according to the stewards, but I think it only makes you sit up and go, wow, what a run.
Yeah.
Even a couple more so than originally.
Couple other interesting things too is that first three across the line were mares. You go back to the champion sprint, the 1,200-metre race at the end of the carnival. The first four across the line were mares. So mares are really dominating the sprinting ranks. And also Skybird, $26 SP. That's the longest starting price for a winner ever in Lightning Stakes history. And I also thought something interesting that I'd actually never heard of before, but Mitch Friedman was saying they gene tested Skybird and it came back saying she was a sprinter, not a middle distance or anything like that. So, yeah, had you ever heard that before, that they gene test horses
to
find out what...
I've had a runner with a horse with Troy Corson's, and they gene, the last one, never made it to the races. They gene tested it and unfortunately came back. There was a sprinter. He was having a mile. It turned out it was just shit. and she never actually made it to the races. But yes, I was aware of gene testing. Hey, the Newmarket, as we alluded to, is setting up as a cracking race. Let's take a look at the market for that. And Switzerland, as we know, down the straight, 1,200 metres is a winner, albeit at three-year-old company. Growing Empire still sits second there. Stretton Angel, $9. I'm a big Stretton Angel fan. Skybird, 10s. Benedetta, 11. So that's 1, 2, 3 from the Lightning. Traffic Warden, 11 as well. Ray Magnerio, interesting. I think Ray Magnerio, I really like him as a horse, but I think he's more a Group 2 horse. Jolly Star, probably disappointing on the weekend. Magic Time, super. Steffi Magnetica. Yes, we haven't seen her so far, but that does look a really nice race if they all go there.
It does, and I'd be looking at Stretton Angel at $9 or better. Any horse below the line there can't possibly get excited about Switzerland or Growing Empire at those prices. When you look at the horses that are much better price, they might win, but I think there's much better value there below that.
There was some impressive performances, as we said, on the weekend, and Seppels in the CS Hayes. This was quite extraordinary in some respects. I mean, there's some very highly rated horses from the two-year-old and early three-year-old seasons behind it, and Seppels has just gone whooshka. It was an ominous performance in terms of the Australian Guineas. It's just a matter of whether he's over the top by then, but it's not surprising to see the market, which we will look at shortly, has reacted to this victory, Rich.
Yeah, it was a great win. So that was his fourth start. He's won three from four now. Had his first start back on the 20th of December, so not that long ago. Him and Angel Capital looked like the clear horses to beat in the Australian Guineas. Just quickly, Royal Insignia was a King's Own tip on the Saturday set. Was disappointing, didn't really handle the going, but it doesn't help much if he didn't back him. But there was another three-year-old race on the day which might have some Australian Guineas implications, Rog.
Yeah, Silly Cap or Chili Cap, depending who you talk to. If you are a part owner of this horse, please let us know at .com of the Den Mondays. Now, this horse from Graham Beg, on a path to the Australian Oaks, but if you're going to go to 1,600 metres next start anyway, given the Australian Guineas does look wide open, then give him a crack at a Group 1. Try and steal one on the way through. This horse, she's always going to be better over further. And that was a nice performance, given that it was probably a little bit an unsuitable trip. So I think that'd be wise to just go, let's go to the Australian Guineas. Let's see what she's got.
Yeah, well, I think it'd be a nice, hard, tough run for her. The Australasian Oaks over in South Australia is probably the long-term goal. But yeah, competent win, wasn't as impressive as Seppels. I thought Sneaky Sunrise was a great run. The flashing light run really hit the line strongly. Dano's been a fan of Sneaky Sunrise, so
yeah, and the Hayes stable have too. They've given her a pump up a few times, I've heard. So you know, I wouldn't be jumping off her by any stretch. If you look at this Australian Guineas market though, and Angel Capital, it's you've got to weigh up now whether you take that Autumn Stakes form. Or whether you take this CS Hayes form. And like I say, from all reports, Seppels is just super fit. And you say fourth run the prep. So you just got to be wary. Was that his peak performance? And is he now on a downward run? Angel Capital was first up last week in super. First up, second up? I think he was first up.
No, he was first up. Yeah, Angel Capital.
First up. So I think he's going to be better for that run. I think Angel Capital is still the horse I want to be with despite the dominance of that victory by Seppels. Savaglee, if Savaglee can't beat Bozzusto, who's a sort of, you know, maybe not a middling three-year-old, but around that mark.
He's middle of the road, that's for sure, yeah.
Yeah, then I don't think I'd want... I don't like futures markets as in any stretch, but if I'm picking the horse that I think will win the race, Angel Capital is the one that I want to be on.
Yeah, on the reverse of the new market here, I'm much happier to be getting involved in those top two horses there, Angel Capital and Seppels. I think they're both not bad prices.
But also, Silly Cap... If they do decide to go there and try and steal it, $15 isn't a bad price.
Agree with that as well.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. Moving on now, we will go to Sydney because the Lightfingers...
what about this one?
This looked like a race in two going in, and that is how it ended up. But in respect to Lady of Camelot. It was a race in one. Lady Shenandoah returned. But last start win, Group 1 flight stakes, 600 metres, comes out 1,200 metres and goes bang. The world, in terms of three-year-old fillies racing especially, is her oyster at the moment. I know some people are going, oh, what did she beat? Well, who cares what she
beat?
That's
a Golden Slipper winner. Who she beat? The Golden Slipper winner.
That's what's behind it. But I still don't think Lady of Camelot's a top liner. I think she's fine. Lady Shenandoah is, and I think that performance, I still am sitting up and going, wow.
Yeah. What about Waller's Riches when it comes to three-year-old fillies? He's obviously got this one. He's got Autumn Glow, which everyone thought was the best three-year-old filly in the land until she went to miss over the spring. Aeliana, Amelita, there's others as well. DeClitchy Boulevard, he's got them all. But no, brilliant horse. And it won like a Wait for Age star in the making, just the way that it eased down. She's favourite for the Doncaster, so she should be. She's $1.80 in the surround, which is in a couple of weeks' time. Autumn Glow apparently is going to run in that as well. She's going to have a trial on Tuesday. Charlie Duckworth on the screen there, he was saying that if Autumn Glow trials pretty well, she'll line up in that race as well, the surround, which is a Group 1 race. Maybe they might, you know, Massara at Arrowfield might go, oh, I don't know if we want to put her in that race first up. Does it damage her, you know, her legacy and her credibility? Maybe they avoid the surround. So we'll see. We'll see. I'd be proud of them if they do throw, if Autumn Glow trials okay tomorrow and they throw her in against Lady Shenandoah. What do you think, Rog? Do you think?
I'd like to see them go head to head just for the, you know, the fact that we'd have these two star three-year-old fillies. But I just want to see them both at the races, whether that's against each other or not. Is irrelevant. I thought Autumn Glow was the horse that I was so looking forward to after those first couple of wins last spring and she went amiss. I just hope she gets back and she's still that same horse and, you know, and furnished a little bit more now into the autumn because it's just exciting for racing to have good young horses coming through and she looked so good and Lady Shenandoah looks so good as well. I just, they're the horses that get people to the races.
They do, but
they switch on every Saturday.
Autumn Glow's wins were good. But Lady Shenandoah's wins have been absolutely brilliant. Like just that, just the effortlessness of it.
But Autumn Glow was always going to be better. And Waller had said this, as she got further out in trip, she never got to the sort of distances that she was going to be peaking at. So I don't think we've seen the best spot from her by any stretch, if Chris Waller's to be believed. And of course, he is. He's the master trainer. So let's just hope she's sound and can get out to the distances that we want to see her at because that's exciting for racing. What else is exciting for racing and is exciting for Lindsay Park team is they've got another one.
They do.
Rise at Dawn.
This is what they do.
He's a winner. I made him my best bet of the day on Moody on the mic and he was clearly more suited to the trip than some of his rivals here. And the way they're working him through the grades beautifully in a very similar way that they did with another horse a few years ago. Now, I'm not saying he is Mr. Brightside. He's not. He's probably not a nine-time Group 1. He may not be even a Group 1 winner by, at the end of it. But there is some familiarity about the way they have worked this horse, and he just wins. And what's to say he can't win an All-Star Mile? He's probably not going to win an All-Star Mile. But look, he's going to the All-Star Mile. He's got the golden ticket now. He's in the race, and he's a super consistent horse.
Yeah, that was his fourth win in a row. I think he's a real good horse. Profiles like Here to Shock and Mr. Brightside. He's into the All-Star Mile. You'd imagine the Hayes Boys will run him there. Then I reckon they have to look at the Doncaster. So I was looking back at Mr. Brightside's record. Mr. Brightside ran third in this exact race and then went on to win the Doncaster. So Rise at Dawn's going to get into the Doncaster with, you know, very little weight. I mean, it'd have to be a really good chance for that. What do you think about him as a Doncaster chance?
Well, he does like a wet track, so that tends to be a wet track up there at that time of year.
Yes.
I think Mr. Brightside is he's different gravy.
Yeah.
But if you get it the right weight in a Doncaster, that's why it's a handicap. If you're a good horse with the right weight, then you can absolutely win a horse like the Doncaster. I'm going to wait and have a look at the field and tell you 3 days out who I think will win the Doncaster. But look, why not? I'm very interested to see. He will run in the All-Star Mile because he's stupid not to run in the All-Star Mile. You got the golden ticket. It's good prize money. But it'd be interesting to see how he goes there because he is super consistent. Then he could run top three.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yep. And just before we close off that race, Chorlton Lane running out of chances. You pay the Mar tax, so he's always, you know, pretty close to favourite, if not favourite. And it was a pretty disappointing run on Saturday. For me, he's running out of chances.
I think he's out of chances. But
done, barred.
Let's head back up to Sydney now. And look, it was a race, the Group 2 Apollo, that I think had a lot of people excited. It was Via Sestina, it was Chio Wolf, both returning, Fangirl. I still think Via Sestina should have won the race. You can see here, she's just caught for a run at the wrong time. And she also did miss the kick too. I think if she gets clear running a little bit earlier, she probably runs over the top of Fangirl. That's just my thought. But I still think that this is going to be a hot form race moving forward, because Fangirl, Via Sestina, Chio Wolf, they're all going to win races. Even Lindemann, if gets the right race, probably Group 2 level, then over the right trip, then he's going to win races too. It's going to be a hot form race moving forward, Rich.
Yeah, well, these are the horses. These are the best horses in Australia. So Fangirl, super impressive. She was a little bit forgotten. People, all they want to do is talk about Via Sestina and Chio Wolf, but she was very solid in the market. I think when everybody sat down, in particular the bookies, and thought, you know, how's this race really going to pan out? It really did all profile really well for Fangirl. So it's interesting, where does Fangirl go next? So there's a bit of talk that she could go in the All-Star Mile. Why would she go in the All-Star Mile? Well, firstly, it's a week after the Very Elegant Stakes. So we know that Via Sestina and Chio Wolf will definitely go to the Very Elegant, which is in 2 weeks' time, over 1,600 metres at Randwick. It's the old Chipping Norton. Fangirl, I saw a thing on racing.com saying that Fangirl will run in the Very Elegant and then 1 week later run in the All-Star Mile. I find that a little hard to believe. It doesn't really feel like something a Waller would do. The pros for the All-Star Mile is that it's a $2.5 million race as opposed to the $1 million Very Elegant. She dodges Via Sestina and Chow Wolf as she's down there, but then she's got to take on Mr. Brightside and some other very nice horses as well.
But she runs well at Flemington. And
yeah.
Like, not like, oh, gee, it's her track.
No, but not like, well, a well tissue. There. It's a tissues track.
Tissues
like,
track, for sure. Mm. And tissue probably, well, 1,600 to 2,000 doesn't really matter with the tissue, I don't think. But also, if you're getting a wet track in Sydney and you're getting a dry track in Melbourne, and granted, really, you're going to have to make the decision probably before you know, but you could look at the long-range forecast and hope the Bureau gets it right for once. She is better on top of the ground.
Yeah, yeah. I personally think the boring route will happen, and that'll be she'll run in the Very Elegant and not come the All-Star Mile. Hope I'm wrong. And if it was me, I would be scratching it from the Very Elegant and heading towards the All-Star Mile.
Yep, I think so too. And Via Sestina, I think, will win the Very Elegant based on that run.
$2.50 I saw.
I'd actually be happy to take $2.50, although you're probably on the day. The difference between what that $2.50 and what you get on the day, which might be $2.20, probably not worth the risk of an all-in market. So I'd probably sit and wait, as we say.
One of the issues with Via, though, she often gets back, doesn't she? And then she can encounter the problems that Kieran McAvoy had with her on Saturday, where she just doesn't get that, you know, that split and get, you know, the big booming run where you've got horses as fast as Fangirl in the race. It can create issues.
Yeah, but 1,600 metres gives you more time to negate bad luck.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, she's still the best horse in the country. She's still the number one rated turf horse in the world, I imagine.
Yeah.
She hasn't run since the last time they brought out the ratings. Let's take a look now at the All-Star Mile market.
Yes, it's exciting.
Mr. Brightside, who has won the race before, $4, $4.20 for another Will. Fangirl sits in there at $5.50. Obviously, the question is, like we said, whether she comes down. And Via Sestina won't go there. Tissue will go there. I wish I win. Yeah, not so sure. Rise at Dawn, we know, has got the golden ticket. Leave Me Out of Private Life.
Amelia's Jewel, very unlikely to go there.
Yeah.
Just off linebacker the screen is Angel Capital. You know, I'd love to see Angel Capital.
If Angel Capital wins the Australian Guineas and then goes in the All-Star Mile, he's probably going to be a bit further in the market. But it's a race. There's a lot to play out in terms of to even find out who's going to be running, let alone worrying about having a futures bet on it, Rich. But is there any that you'd be happy to take at this stage?
A tissue at $7.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you.
If I had to have a bet, a tissue at $7, but I'd rather $10. That'd get me interested. But if I had to have a bet, a tissue at $7 seems Anyway, moving on.
Moving on to the two-year-olds, because it's a very even open two-year-old racing coming up, an even batch. And well, this was the race at headquarters on Saturday.
The Talendert, yep.
The Talendert Stakes, and it was a dead heat. So we had two winners out of this one to look at. Interesting here was that Matt Hill called it for the Shining Smile. And if you look at the replay, just look at them go to line here.
Mate, absolutely. Swine smile wins for sure.
Exactly. I've never, like, I've seen a thousands of races at Flemington. Have they changed the camera angle? Because
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that looked, for all money, like Shining Smile had won that race. I was stunned. Mm. And so I'm not going to pop Matt Hill for going with it because, well, he's the best in the business. But it looked like Shining Smile had won for sure.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what this race is going to be in terms of form, but I'm probably going to be, if I'm going to pick one of the two that won it, I'm probably going to be sticking with Shining Smile over Tentris.
Yeah, well, the Hayes boys are going to decide, I think, today about whether or not Shining Smile lines up in the Blue Diamond. They've marked him as a Golden Slipper horse, so they'll definitely push towards the Golden Slipper with him. Sam Friedman's stable, Tentris deciding as well whether or not to go to the Blue Diamond with him.
Anthony Friedman would not be happy about you calling that Sam Friedman stable.
This is true. He does a good job, Sam Friedman, of running the Anthony Friedman stable. The Anthony and Sam Friedman stable.
Exactly. This is a father-son operation, Richard, and don't you forget it.
How wide open is this Blue Diamond, Rog?
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Field of play is nom now, you said, I think.
They paid the $55,000 late entry fee, so it is nominated. Wide open.
Look for mine. Farm Angel. It made up the six lengths on My Gladiola last start. It's won the Merson Cooper. It had a bit of a flat one second up, and then, of course, won last week. I still think. I mean, we see Woderton this weekend, I think.
Yeah, so he's running the Silver Slipper up in Sydney at Rose Hill.
Big question whether he comes down, which is probably why he still sits $12. But
well, there's no chance. Yeah.
Yeah. The playwright definitely running in the Blue Diamond.
Yep.
Tycoon
Star is not a bad price.
I better say Palm Angel for my old mate Mytho, but another one that's going to be a really good race and a good open betting race too, and that's what you want. You want a good, I don't want to see a $1.20 favourite. So I think this should be an interesting race. I mean, what's a great day at Caulfield with three group ones there. But we spoke briefly of the Golden Slipper. Now, a horse that's definitely going to the Golden Slipper after it's when the Pierrot played on the weekend is Shaggy. This was probably my favourite win of the weekend, actually, because the trainer got up and about. It's a good story. It's a bit of a battler story. But this is a horse that sits up on the speed. Let fast horses run fast, as Moods always says. But that's the favourite coming up as an on its outside. Mm. And instead of folding up, it just went whooshka and pulled away. And this was a really good win, not just because you can see one by sort of two lengths or whatever, but the times stack up. The times for this stack up against some of the best over this trip in the last 15 years. I think it's quicker than what Switzerland won this race in last year, albeit on a good four as opposed to a soft six maybe. But this was a quick race, and the Shaggy now heads to the Todman before going on to the Slipper. And it's a really good story and looks a really good horse, Shaggy. And do you know why they call him Shaggy?
Yeah, because you tell me. I heard, I don't know how to say it.
I think he was very culty.
Yeah, that's right.
And they decided to take away his manhood. Lose a colt, find a racehorse. He maintains the name Shaggy. He does not get to do that anymore. But he does get to win races. And it's a really good story.
Just raw ability. Like, he just, the way he kicked away from the favorite there, Paladin, just raw ability. And Alan Keogh was literally breathless after the race. You could tell it was just, he's just like, wow, I've got a fast one here and he deserves it. He's going to have to pay $150,000 late entry fee to the Slipper if he wants to run in the Slipper with Shaggy. But they'll put him around in the Todman. You got to remember the Todman's the sort of the premier race leading up towards the Slipper. So there'll be some good horses in that. And I guess, I think first prize might be $175,000. So if they can win that, then they pay up and away they go. But yeah, really exciting. Every 5 years or so, you just get a horse from nowhere that's in Golden Slipper calculations and everyone gets behind. They're always from the bush or, the provincial circuit. And I just love seeing Alan Kehoe, so emotional and just, he couldn't handle it. He's just like, this is just,
he said he almost did a nudie run.
Yeah.
Imagine what he'll do if he wins the Slipper. I mean, Shaggy might have lost his colt. No, he better not go. Hey, run of the day, Rich. You put a poll up on the den. Yeah. And who was the run of the day? And Skybird's stiff, but it's hard to argue. But all four of those options are terrific options.
They are. And Seppel's only getting 3% of the vote. So we've got 211 votes, which is a pretty good sample size. But the lady, she was way out in front. It's a great feature on the Den, the polls. I put a lot of them up, and I feel like it gives people a really quick way to have their opinion. Say that again.
Just had your lucky do the poll this week.
Yes, well, this is true. Matt Jr., who runs the feed for us, he always does them. He does a fantastic job at putting the polls up. I probably couldn't have done it better myself. So, yes.
Well, it would have been the same job. It's just a poll, mate.
Am I your lucky or are you my lucky? I'm just confused.
Isn't Trelmitt both our lucky?
This is true.
Yeah. Hey, Trelmitt, roll the Stewart in 60 sting.
Stewart's Room Speed Round.
All right, Stewart's in 60. I'll tell you what, you're stiff if you backed Wiggum in race 5 at Flemington. He was well in the market. Post-race vet found him lame in the right hind and left fore and also had a throat condition. Aztec Ruler race 6 pulled up with a degree of EIPH, so nostril bleed will need a vet certificate for Aztec Ruler races again. Stretton Angel in the light and began awkwardly, shifted out, made contact with Growing Empire, become unbalanced as a result, lost ground, should have won with me on at $23. Skybird, lame in the left four, as we alluded to, needs a vet certificate for racing again. Should have won by more. Growing Empire bumped at the start near the 150, shifted out abruptly before being straight and had a tendency to lay out away from Benedetta over the latter stages. Zara said that the mount raced greenly, as we all saw. Post-race vet didn't identify any significant abnormal findings, so the stewards will follow up with the stable. And just in terms of suspensions, race one, Ryan Hurdle, who rode the favourite there, just copped a 10-meeting ban for a bit of a shove on J-Mac. I noticed J-Mac got a reprimand for a shove back, or vice versa, as the case may be. J-Mac got off with the reprimand. Probably should have got rubbed out, to be fair. But he will ride on, and that is Stewards in 60. Moving on yet again.
Cook the book.
Okay, it's a big welcome, of course, to Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes and punting extraordinaire Kingsley Bartholomew. You guys were in the Den together last week. You're back in your respective dens this week. Tom, I'll kick off with you, mate. We saw in the Melbourne Cup last year a blowout in the Group 1. Doesn't necessarily mean a big result for Ladbrokes, but I'm guessing Skybird at 25-1 in the Lightning was a good result, both in terms of straight out bets and also blowing everyone out the quaddie.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rog. Skybird, actually the best result.
Jeez, how good are we going? How good are we going? Leave that in. Leave that in, Trelmitt. Tommy, pick it up. Just keep going. This is live TV.
Still counting.
No, you're absolutely right, Rog. Skybird was the best result in the race. Switzerland was backed basically from the time the fields were announced until the jumper on Saturday. It was just basically one-way traffic with us for Switzerland. Switzerland was our only losing result in the race. Would have been a losing result of over $600,000. So we had everyone else running for us. And of all those horses running for us, Skybird was the best result. So I thought going into the race that one of the three-year-olds would get the job done. I probably could have had six or seven bets in the race before I got to Skybird. So well played to the punters that did find it. But it was a tough result for the punters with Ladbrokes in that race.
Yeah, given that result, Kings, you'd think that it'd be your camera that's falling over and not the camera of the bookmaker, so you could probably afford to buy him a better one. Was Skybird one that you gave any chance to? Are you riding the three-year-olds as well?
I actually didn't bet in the race at all, but Skybird, I had, my prices had Skybird around 25-1. She, if you could have found her in a way, if you were just looking at that straight form, I suppose. Her best figures were down the straight, so she was one that, I mean, I couldn't have backed out of 25-1. I think they bet 40s. There was a bit of money around for Skybird. But no, I stayed out of the race.
I haven't met anyone who actually backed her. Up in Sydney, Shaggy was an upset. Well, upset the short price favourite. It wasn't a blowout result by any stretch. One which you found, I understand. What appealed to you about Shaggy in that race? Because I don't think you'll get big odds on him moving forward.
What appealed to me about Shaggy was that natural early speed, which we saw on Saturday. So Shaggy won a couple of races up north at the Sunny Coast and Coffs Harbour, and then came to Sydney with good time figures. And I took $5.50 and $6 about Shaggy on Thursday after the Saturday set, and Shaggy got out to about $7.50 or $8. I think it just highlights a couple of things. It highlights how important the class of the race is, which we know, but in terms of the betting fluctuations, it highlights how punters and the market really gravitates towards the class horses in the race. So if you do find they can win, as we saw, if you do find that the horses, especially lightly raced, I love backing those horses that are lightly raced, that are doing good figures and coming up in class, as opposed to a horse that might have had 20 starts and is then going out of class rise. I find those don't win, but the unknown factor, and Shaggy, as we saw, is a real life chance in a race like a Golden Slipper now.
Yeah, I think you'll go to the top and next. Do you think you'll be sticking with him there before the Slipper?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know what else is going to be in the Todman, but I love horses that just put themselves, especially the two-year-olds with that natural early speed that just take bad luck out of the equation.
Tommy, you're finding two-year-old races are being well bet in a pretty, I mean, it's a pretty open blue diamond, as we've spoken about here on .com and the Den Mondays, potentially a similar story later in the autumn with the Slipper. Is there any two-year-old that punters are gravitating towards, or the future's very dry at the moment?
Well, Wotherton is the one who will run in the Silver Slipper this weekend. Is the only one now left that probably hasn't had the boom come off it a little bit. It's the one that's sort of dominating those Golden Slipper futures markets. But I think what we're seeing, there's a lot of talk around, is this a weak two-year-old crop? I think it's a fairly even two-year-old crop, which means that we saw even the race like this on the weekend, Palatine, which was a short favourite, certainly wasn't overwhelmingly well backed. And we saw money for horses like United States and some of these other runners at a longer price. So I think punters are still sort of trying to work out what to do with this two-year-old crop. But I think Saturday in the Silver Slipper will be a big determining factor, where we could end up having a really short price favourite in the Golden Slipper. But if there's an upset in the Silver Slipper, it could go in. We could go into the Golden Slipper as one of the most open betting slippers in a long time.
Yeah, which makes it exciting racing. And we had an exciting race as well with Via Sestina, Fangirl, Chow Wolf as well. Now, Via Sestina, pretty short, rightly so. Chow Wolf was probably going to be better deeper in the prep, as Joe Pride had alluded to in the lead-up. They were the two I'd imagine that punters wanted. Fangirl seemed like a bit of a forgotten horse, even though she was well in the market and, of course, won the race last year. How did that race play out from a Ladbrokes point of view?
Via Sestina was extremely well backed on our end. I think off the back of that spring carnival, like that dominant win in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, there's a lot of hype around her. And like the fact that she'd done it first up in the Wing Stakes, that preparation as well, did give punters the confidence that she could win over the 1,400 metres first up. So she was our only losing result in the race. Fangirl was certainly not ignored, though, on our end. A win for the book, but only a small win. She was better backed with us than Child Wolf. I think Joe Pride had tipped people out of Child Wolf a little bit. We know the horse doesn't have a great first-up record. Joe Pride was very upfront and honest, saying that whatever he did on Saturday, he would improve on substantially. So I think that sort of poured a bit of water over Child Wolf's chances, and punters were happy to let it go around without them.
I love the no bullshit about Joe Pride. When he gets on it and talks, it reminds me of it. There's a few trainers out there who I really enjoy the fact that they'll tip you into him and they'll tip you out of him, and you know you can trust him, because you certainly can't trust everyone in the racing game. Kings, based on that race, Via Sestina should have won, mind you, with even luck. Are you more inclined to play into a futures market around a Via Sestina and a Chairwolf, sort of certainly with Chairwolf getting out towards that 2,000 metres beyond?
Absolutely. I think the next race where they contest will be over 1,600. But beyond that, I think that I don't think anything will get near Via Sestina based on that run over third up. I don't think Via Sestina, she may have sort of four or five runs this prep. I don't think from run three, four, five, I don't think she'll get beaten at all. I'm not having gone through and seen what the plan is, but I think Chio Wolf's two lengths still behind Via Sestina, and she ran really well. I wouldn't get too carried away with a horse like a Skybird. I wouldn't get too carried away with these horses that win first up. We saw it last in spring. We see it all the time where horses come up and they win in unsuitable races. I wouldn't get too carried away with them. And I also wouldn't be penning any horses like a Switzerland that first up 1,000 metres, not really his go. I wouldn't read too much into a lot of this first up form. And there's better value finding horses that were unsuited going into more suitable races, which Via Sestina will be going into a much more suitable race, mainly third up. Second up, I do think she'll win, but third up, bet right up, third up, fourth up, I don't think she'll get beat.
Well, she, of course, won first up 1,400 last preparation in the spring, unsuitable, bombed second up, and then was unbelievable the rest of the prep. So she might be the exception to the rule. Hey, Tom, a couple of horses who will become very good for your mob. I speak of Vedad and Chorlton Lane, both well in the market at the weekend, a favourite even in Chorlton Lane's case. Again, did not win. Are punters dropping off these horses now? Or are they still getting, were they well backed on Saturday?
Verdad was well backed on Saturday. It wasn't our best result in, it wasn't the worst result in the race, but it was still a losing result for the book. And there was a few smart punters that were keen on Verdad there. So certainly not dropping off Verdad. I personally have put Verdad in the Never Again file, but that's just a personal decision that I've made. Shorten Lane wasn't as well backed as Verdad. I think there is a little bit of frustration there. But Verdad is such an interesting one where, and I'll be interested in King's thoughts here. Like when you do your facts and figures and you take the horse's name out of it, basically every time Verdad's running, I've got it marked shorter than what the market has. But then I've made a decision, and it's probably a mental health decision that I don't want to get involved in Verdad anymore. So I'm just basically, if Verdad's in a race, I won't be.
Yeah, I mean there are those sort of that group of horses, and people talk about them a lot and get quite emotionally involved, where they do seem to be short and they get beat all the time. But I just treat every horse sort of on its merits. But there are a group of horses that run quite good time all the time, but never seem to win. And I need to do a bit more work on those group of horses and see whether they are always running second and third and then thereabouts without actually finding the line. But my gut feeling says it's an emotional decision, Tommy, by you.
Yeah,
no, I'll put the hand up. Certainly an emotional decision, there's no doubt.
You're an emotional man, Tom. Now, overall, how did Ladbrokes fare in both Melbourne and Sydney? Enough to buy you a new studio set up with camera and microphone, or how are we looking?
No, it was an interesting day at both venues, really. Obviously, the big tipping factor at Flemington was that Black Caviar Lightning Stakes, and the big result there did tip things in Ladbrokes' favour. But there were some good results for the punters there. Like, punters did win in four of the first six races on the cards. There were some pretty good results there as well. So Rivalare in the first was almost a $200,000 loser for the book. Smoking Princess in race four was a $376,000 loser for the book. And Rise at Dawn in race six was a $400,000 loser for the book. So punters went into the feature races at Melbourne well in front. But obviously that big result in the Black Caviar did swing things to Ladbrokes' favour. And it was a similar story in Sydney. It was sort of back and forth all day. The big race that did make the difference there in Sydney was Jolly Star in Expressway Stakes. She was really well backed. She was the anchor of a lot of multis as well. And Magic Time getting the job there did swing things towards Ladbrokes at Sydney as well. But punters still did win on their fair share of races on Saturday. It certainly wasn't one-way traffic.
Good to hear all those Moody on the mic listeners. Just truckloaded my best bet, Rise at Dawn, on Saturday, and took a little bit away from the Ladbrokes book. Well done, team. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll see you next week for another edition of the best segment on this show. And it's not because Rich is sitting in the corner, but cook the book. Cheers, lads.
Cook the book.
Oh, we're going to do the funnies now, Rich, because there was a couple of funnies from the weekend. And I've got to say, in terms of this didn't fit into Stewards in 60. Kyle Wilson-Taylor was fined $1,000 with 500 suspended for punching a hole in the jockey room wall at Eagle Farm. Now, that's funny anyway. This happened just moments after he left the stewards room because he was found guilty. So he's a bit angry, Kyle, and he's just put a hole in the wall. He was found guilty of causing interference in the last race, and the horse which he caused interference with was ridden by his fiancée, Angela Jones. So if he thought he copped at work, wait till he got home on Saturday night.
He's got nowhere to hide, nowhere to go.
I reckon the lounge room wall might got it going over as well. he might have been put through it by his missus. And then we're going to have a look at the video now, if Chelmy can roll it. This Gabby Doxy does great work with Ladbrokes. Now, she's the partner of Jordan Childs, and Geordie was riding Magic Time. And Gabby's about to do a hit on racing.com, and she's watching the race, and then
look,
she does
focus.
Live Oop. Hit. Straight up, and I reckon it was 8 seconds from the time that race crossed the line, and then she is on air, and she did it seamlessly. Cheeky grin there too. So she's still thinking about, I think Tromit worked it out, it was $8,500 sling for winning on Magic Time. So would have been a nice dinner at the Child's Doxy home on Saturday night. But that is, as someone who's done plenty of live TV over the years, that is not easy to do, just focus like
great.
That. And there are plenty.
Great to see you so excited and passionate too for Geordie too.
Nah, it's great. It's great to see. She does a terrific job. Hey, this weekend is plenty to get excited about as well.
Just keeps coming at us, Rog.
We don't call it next week. We call it this week, this Saturday.
Sneak peek.
Well, this weekend, Rich, some terrific racing yet again. Three group ones on Saturday at Caulfield. The Blue Diamond, we've already spoken about. The Futurity, Mr. Brightside, goes around. He's about even money, I think, Mr. Brightside. We'll find out later today who goes against him. But he was obviously beaten last start in the All Stakes, but there was nothing taken away from that run, and no surprise to see him come up a pretty short favourite there again this week.
And now another will. That's the big thing too. So they've held off with another will until the All-Star Mile, so that's why he's so dominant in the market. And the Akeley Plate as well, Rog. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, Striella, no surprise. She's been safe for that. She'll go around, I think, in favour of that. I Am Me, scratch from the Black Caviar Lightning of the weekend because of the track conditions, will head that way too. I do love the Akeley Plate. It's just, it's a psycho race. 1,100 metres at Caulfield. It's there's always plenty of interest in it. Ray McNeary will go around there too.
She's bulletproof.
Yeah.
Charlotte Littlefield. Love to see her win a group one.
BZ, yep. Just telling her to go there. So,
big day for always, BZ.
We always like to see Wednesday when those, or Tuesday when the acceptances come out. So, plenty of good racing at Caulfield this weekend. Hopefully, they get good. Actually, I think it's going to be 37 degrees on Saturday in Melbourne.
Yeah, right.
So, certainly won't be a soft track that IME has to worry about this weekend. Up in the Silver Slipper, as we spoke about earlier, Woderton, we get to see that exciting 2-year-old. There, so interesting there, and some big names returning in the Hobartville as well. Broadsiding, Aylina, linebacker, public attention. Mm. So that should be a hot race as well. Literally hot racing at Caulfield and hot racing as well in Sydney, regardless of the actual air temperature.
Can't wait for it, Rog. I think that's it, right? We've done it for another week, and we'll try and go and find some winners to back on Saturday now over the next few days.
I'm sure we will, Rich. We never fail.
Just one last thing too. We are doing a live stream on Saturday, and we're also doing a Ladbrokes Punters Pot on both the Blue Diamond Day, and we're also going to roll into the night and do one for the Australian Cup Greyhounds as well. So be sure to jump on the Ladbrokes app, go and find us in the Mates Mode community section and get involved in those pots. They're a lot of fun. And
probably be the safest punting you'll do late night on the Dish Lickers is just jumping on with the Wolf Den boys. It's going to be far more beneficial than just doing it after 16 stubbies at home.
I'll be proud of everyone who's in both pots because it will be a long day, but I'm pretty confident that we will prevail.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.